Welcome to Zichru Daf Sim. My name is Ram Goldhari, and today we're in Sechus Pesachim, Daf Lamed Gimel. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, a braisa was brought in Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis that contained a contradiction about whether karas is more severe than me'ila, which is a punishment of misa bidei shemayim, death by the hands of heaven. The Gemara brings three ways to reconcile the contradiction. V'chiyah bar Avin explains that me'ila is more severe than an issa karas, not because of the punishment of misa bidei shemayim, but because one would be punished even for eating less than the kazayas of hekdesh, unlike all other Esiri Koras, which only apply when one ate a Kazayas. Mar Breda Rabbana explains that Mi'il is more severe than an Issur Koras because it even applies Bein Miskaven, when a person does not have Kavana to use a particular item, such as when a person tries to warm himself with the wool shearing of Chulin, but inadvertently warms himself with the wool shearing of a carbon. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak explains that Mi'il is more severe in that he is Chayev even if he does it in a Mesasek manner, such as reaching for something and inadvertently anointing his hand with oil of Hekdesh. Point number two, a braisa and daf lamed beis amud alf stated that it is only possible for there to be such a thing as chametz, which is truma, but mafish truma v'hechmitza. If one separated truma before it became chametz, aval, mafish truma's chametz, divrei akol, in a kedusha. However, if during Pesach one separated produce for truma from something that was already chametz, all agree that it has no kedusha. The Gemara seeks the source of this ruling. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak brought the pasuk regarding truma that states, Titan lo, you shall give it to him, meaning to the Kohen, v'lo l'uro, but not to his fire. This teaches that produce can become truma only if it is fit for a Kohen to eat. If it can only be used for burning, then it cannot acquire the kedusha of truma. Even Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who permits getting hanah from chametz on Pesach, would agree here since the Kohen is not permitted to eat it. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua learns it from the fact that truma is referred to as reshis, the first of your gathered grain, which implies shishiyareh nikarn Yisrael, that after truma is taken, its remains must be distinguishable to Yisrael, meaning that it must become permitted to Yisrael. Where the produce remains forbidden for consumption, that which was separated does not take on the kedusha of truma. And pointing with Rav Acha bar Rav Avia was sitting before Rav Chis and said in the name of Rav Yochanan, "Anavim shenitmeu dorchan pachus pachus mekabeya v'yenum kashul nesachim." In the case of grapes that became tameh, one presses less than a kabeya of them at a time, and their wine is valid for libation offering, since food less than a kabeya can generate tuma. This indicates that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the juice within the grape is not absorbed, but rather contained by it, like a liquor that fills a container. Rav Chisda disagrees and holds that the juice is tameh, indicating that the juice is absorbed in the grape, and when the grape becomes tameh, so does the juice. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, a brice was brought in Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis that contained a contradiction about whether karas is more severe than me'ila, which is a punishment of misa bidei shemayim, death by the hands of heaven. The Gemara brings three ways to reconcile the contradiction. Rechiyah bar Avin explains that me'il is more severe than an issur karas, not because of the punishment of misa bidei shemayim, but because one would be punished even for eating less than a kazayas of hekdesh, unlike all other isuri karas, which only apply when one ate a kazayas. Mar Breda Rabbana explains that me'il is more severe than an issur karas because it even applies be'ein miskaven, when a person does not have kavana to use that particular item, such as when a person tries to warm himself with the wool shearing of chulin, but inadvertently warms himself with wool shearing of a carbon. And Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak explains that me'il is more severe and that he's chayv even if he does it in a mesasek manner, such as reaching for something and inadvertently anointing his hand with oil of hekdesh. Point number two, a braisa on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph stated that it is only possible for there to be such a thing as chametz, which is truma, but mafrish truma ve'achmitza. If one separated truma before it became chametz, of a mafrish truma's chametz, divrei akol in a kedusha. However, if during Pesach one separated produce for truma from something that was already chametz, all agree that it has no kedusha. The Gemara seeks a source for this ruling. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak brought the pasuk regarding truma that states, "Titan lo, you shall give it to him," meaning to the Kohen, "v'lo l'uro," but not to his fire. This teaches that produce can become truma only if it's fit for the Kohen to eat. If it can only be used for burning, then it cannot acquire the kedusha of truma. Even Rabbi Yossi Glili, who permits getting hanah from chametz on Pesach, would agree here, since the Kohen is not permitted to eat it. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua learns it from the fact that the truma is referred to as reshis, the first of your gathered grain, which implies that after truma is taken, its remains must be distinguishable to Yisrael, meaning that it must become permitted to Yisrael. Where the produce remains forbidden for consumption, that which was separated does not take on the kedusha of a truma. And point number three, Rav Acha bar Rav Avia was sitting before Rav Chisda and said in the name of Yochanan, in the case of grapes that became tummy, one presses less than a kabeya of them at a time, and their wine is valid for libation offering, since food less than a kabeah cannot generate tumah. This indicates Rabbi Yochanan holds that the juice within the grape is not absorbed, but rather contained by it like a liquid that fills a container. Rabbi Chisda disagrees and holds that the juice is tameh, indicating that the juice is absorbed in the grape, and when the grape becomes tameh, so does the juice. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Lamed Gimel, and our siman has to do with a leg, but we use a peg leg of a pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from Chametz on Pesach had no Kedusha, spent his time alone in the ship trying to figure out how to get Tahor juice out of tameh grapes. Once again, in slow motion. The peg leg pirate, that must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, which reminds us that three reasons were given why Me'ilah, which is Misa Bidei Shemaim, is more severe than Isseri Koris. It is more severe than Isseri Koris not because of the punishment of Misa Bidei Shemaim, but because one would be punished even for eating less than a kazayas of hekdesh, or it even applies Be'ein Meskavin when a person does not have kavana to use that particular item, such as when a person tries to warm himself with the wool shearing of chulin, but inadvertently warms himself with the wool shearing of a carbon. And the third reason is he's chayv even if he does it in a misasik manner, such as reaching for something and inadvertently anointing his hand with oil of hektish. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from Chametz on Pesach had no Kedusha, which reminds us, if during Pesach one separated produce for truma from something that was already Chametz, I'll agree that it has no Kedusha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brought the pasuk regarding truma that states titan lo, you shall give it to him, meaning to the Kohen, v'lo le'uro, but not to his fire. This teaches that produce can become truma only if it's fit for the Kohen to eat. If it can only be used for burning, then it can't acquire the kedusha of truma. Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua learns from the fact that truma is referred to as reishis, the first of your gathered grain, which implies that after truma is taken, its remains must be distinguishable to Yisrael, meaning that it must become permitted to a Yisrael. Where the produce remains forbidden for consumption, that which was separated does not take on the kedusha of truma. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from Chametz on Pesach had no kedusha, spent his time alone in the ship trying to figure out how to get tahor juice out of tameh grapes. Which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that in the case of grapes that became tameh, one presses less than a kabeah of them at a time, and their wine is valid for a libation offering, since food less than a kabeah cannot generate tumah. This indicates Rabbi Yochanan holds that the juice within the grape is not absorbed, but rather contained by it, like a liquid that fills a container. Rav Chisda disagrees and holds that the juice is tameh, indicating that the juice is absorbed in the grape. And when the grape becomes tameh, so does the juice. So once again, the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from Chametz on Pesach had no Kedusha, spent his time alone on the ship trying to figure out how to get tahor juice out of tameh grapes. All right, now it's time for a four-blot back Chazorah. Dav Chavtes. So the simmer Dav Chavtes is a cot. The Chametz enthusiast who kept Nachri Chametz under his cot. Cot? That must be more Dav Chavtes. The Chametz enthusiast who kept Nachri Chametz under his cot, which reminds us, Rav Akiva Yaakov said that the Mishnah Dav Chavtes Amud Aleph reflected the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Yelech Sor Dechil Mesor Deriyah, and he derives a prohibition of leaven regarding eating from the prohibition of leaven regarding seeing, meaning that just as one is restricted from seeing his Chametz, but he may see the Chametz of Nachum and Hekdesh, so too only your leaven you may not eat, but one may eat that of Nachum and Hekdesh. In fact, continues Rav Akiva Yaakov, the Mishnah should have stated that Nachri's Chametz is permitted to be eaten during Pesach, but since it stated that Jews' Chametz is Aser Bahana after Pesach, it contrasted it with a Nachri's Chametz that is Mutter Bahana after Pesach. The Gemara later proves that Rav Akiva Yaakov retracted his understanding of Rav Yehuda's position. So the Chametz enthusiast who kept Nachri Chametz under his cot and Hekdesh Chametz in the closet, which reminds the Gemara brought up Braisa that said, Ochel Chametz shel Hekdesh, the Moed Ma'al, one who eats Chametz of Hekdesh during Pesach, has committed Me'ilah, V'yesh Omrim lo Ma'al. And there are those that say that he has not committed Me'ilah. And one of the five interpretations of the Braisa is brought by Rav Achim Bar Rava, who explained in the name of Rav Yosef the Malchokis regarding B'davar HaGorm L'mamun K'mamun Dami, whether something can lead to a benefit of money, it's treated as though it's money now. The one who says, the one who eats the Chametz has committed Me'ilah holds that it's treated as money now, since the Chametz of Hekdesh can be eaten after Pesach and therefore has value, and the Yeshomi holds Dabra Gormel Mamun Ravka Mamun Dami, that something that can lead to benefit of money is not treated as though it's money now. Therefore, the person did not commit an act of Me'ilah on something of value. So the Chametz enthusiast who kept Nechri Chametz under his cot and Hekdesh Chametz in the closet could even discern a mashu of Chametz in a mixture that did not impart taste. Which reminds us, the Gemara presents the opinions of Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the halachas of mixtures containing chametz. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Malamed, is a Rebbe, is a teacher. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be more in Daf Lamed from Olamed. The Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, which reminds us that it's Malchokas Rav and Shmuel whether earthenware pots used for chametz before Pesach need to be broken. Rav says they do, as he rules like Rabbi Yehuda, the chametz after Pesach is asur b'hana, and that such leftover chametz will forbid a mixture of similar kind, and although it will be a case of nosin tum of gum, it will impart a rancid flavor, Rav holds that it's still asur. And Shmuel says they do not need to be broken, as he rules like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that mixtures after Pesach are permitted after Pesach. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up, which reminds us we may not need dough with milk, and if one did so, the entire bread made from that dough is forbidden, since it might lead to sin, meaning that one may come to eat it with meat. Similarly, we may not grease an oven with the fatty tail of a sheep, and if one did so, the entire bread in the oven is forbidden until one fires up the oven to burn away the fat. This implies that if the oven is fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged through the firing. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up and to do Hagalas Kalim. Which reminds us that the Gemara discusses the kushering of Kalim, such as knives, wooden spoons, earthenware vessels, and that Kalim used with chametz while it's cold can be used for matzah on Pesach. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Simur Daf Lamed Aleph is the law. We use a judge. So here goes. The judge's courtroom. Judge, that must be one Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively. Which reminds us, the Gemara introduced some halachos regarding a creditor who holds a mortgage on a borrower's property. Abai said, Bal chov l'mafrehu gove, if the borrower defaults on the debt, the Bal chov collects the property retroactively. Whereas Rava said, Mekana l'bal chov gove, he collects the property only from here on. The Gemara clarifies that they argue in a case where the Bal chov either sold or was makdish the property before the loan came due. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas, which reminds us of the rule taught by Rabbi Yitzhak, who said that we derive that a creditor acquires the security that was deposited by him from what's stated in the pasuk regarding a creditor who returns the night clothes of a poor Jew as security for a loan at night. And for you, it will be considered tzedakah. Now, if the lender does not acquire the security, on what basis is it considered tzedakah? From here, then, it's derived that a creditor acquires the security. This is the basis of Malchus between the Tanakh and Rav Meir, whether a Jew acquires the security of a Nachri as well. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas who came with his dog that could sniff chametz buried up to 3 tefachim deep. Which reminds us that ruin fell on chametz when Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if it's buried 3 tefachim deep so that a dog can't search after it and find it, then it's considered removed from the owner's possession and he's not over on Bal Yireh. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in his lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in his lab. Mad scientist in his lab? That must be more on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to value and not volume, which reminds the Gemara, asks what the halacha is in general when one consumes truma b'shogeg, where one repays, lefi midah mishalom or lefi dami mishalom. Does one pay according to the volume of what he ate, or does he repay according to the price? And the Gemara clarifies that the question is only when the value of the produce increased. Do we say he pays according to the measure, even though the value went up, or perhaps if he ate a zoo's worth of truma, that's all that he has to pay, regardless of its volume. So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to the value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, which reminds us that the price that stated Achel grogros v'shilom of tamarim, tavolo alavracha, if one ate b'shogeg dried figs of truma and repaid the kohen with dates, may a bracha come upon him because he acted righteously, is not a proof that he pays according to volume. Abai said that in fact he's repaying according to value, and the reason he should receive a bracha is because he ate something that buyers don't run after and yet repaid with something that buyers do run after. So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, and experimenting to see if he could make a kazayis worth less than a shavapruta. Which reminds us that it's a malchus tanakam and Abba Shaul whether the minimum amount of truma that one must eat to require paying back the karen and the chomish is a kazayis because it says achila in the pasuk, or a shavapruta because he says venasin and he gave, and an asina isn't less than a shavapruta. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff do we have in Machlok is whether one who ate chametz of Hekdesh over Pesach has committed Mi'ila? That's on Daf Chavtas. Good. Number two. Wish up the wind, if one ate a zoo's worth of figs of truma and repaid it with a zoo's worth of dates, he should get a bracha because he repaid it with something that people run after to buy. That's on Daf. Muhammad Bey's. Good. Number three. Which Daf do we discuss kasher and kelim for Pesach, such as knives and wooden spoons? That's on Daf. Lamed. Good. Number four. Which Daf do we have machlokas between the Tanakam and Abba Shoah, whether the minimum amount of truma to eat, to be chayv, a karen, and a chomish, is a kazayis or a sheva pruta? That's on Daf. Muhammad Bey's. Good. Number five. Which Daf do we learn that Rabbi Yehuda's kabbal chomer from Nosa to prove one must burn chametz wasn't valid because it resulted in leniency? That's on Daf. Chav Zayin. Good. Number six. Which stuff we machlok is whether the juice in tamei grapes is tahor because it's contained in the grape like a liquid in a container, or it's tamei because it's considered absorbed in the grape. That's on Daf. Amud Gimel. Good. Number seven. Which stuff we learn that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that if chametz is buried three tefachim deep so that a dog can't find it, then the owner is not over on Bal Yireh. That's on Daf. Amud Olav. Good. Number eight. Which of the one three reasons why Me'ila is more severe than Isser Koras? That's on Daf. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number nine. Which of the one that the source that the Baal Chob takes possession of the security in his possession is from the Pasuk of Lochati Yitztaka? That's on Daf. Lamed Olav. Good. And number ten. Which of the one two different sources why Truma that was separated from Chametz on Pesach has no Kedusha? That's on Daf. Lama Gimel. Excellent. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which Daf do we discuss using a person as a sukkah wall? That's on Daf. Mem Dalet and Erevin. Good. Number two. Which Daf do we learn that workers can say Shema up in trees? That's on Daf. Tezayin and Brachos. Good. And number three. Which Daf do we learn that braiding is considered the Malacha Abona? That's on Daf. Tzadi Hayden Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.